This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
The great Alan Hahn. You could hear Bart and Hahn right before our show. We love taking the baton from them at 2 o'clock. They're on from noon to 2. Right here on 98.7, and Alan is nice enough to join us now on the show. Mr. Hahn, how you doing?
Guys, can I first say you are doing the Lord's work today, and not necessarily because of the topic that you're discussing, which obviously is very much on point, but because me and the hundreds of people that are sitting right now on the rain-soaked Long Island Expressway, moving at approximately 3 miles an hour, watching the ETA go up as we get closer to the destination.
The worst.
It's unbearable unless you're listening to the K Show.
Well, thank you very much.
A bit of a joy. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, and I'm gonna take that compliment and I'm gonna flip it right back on to you there, Alan Hahn, because I was driving back from Delaware earlier in terrible rain-soaked traffic. And I had not gotten to sit in the car and listen to you and Barton quite some time, and you guys sounded tremendous. I was going to text you, but saw you were on the schedule anyway, so you guys are doing an awesome job.
And if I could jump in this threesome here.
It's really a foursome.
It wasn't a threesome.
Oh, well, I'm going to tag in if you don't mind.
Yes,
I do.
I was on the morning show not too long ago, and I was just blown away, Alan, by the fact that, you know, it's not something you've done forever. You know, you've been here quite a while, like 5-6 years, but I mean, you're running point on a national show in the morning and really carrying and driving that show. That's huge, man. It takes decades to be able to do that, and you picked it up right away. You are just a sheer talent, honestly.
Wow.
And on television, you know, listen, basketball is not my favorite sport, but I'll sit there and watch you and Wally on the post game. I like it better than the game.
All right, so let's tell it off.
I mean, I loved it. I feel like my career's been like Forrest Gump. I just wind up places.
All right, now, I know, I mean, you played it in college. You love basketball. I mean, you love all sports, but you really love basketball.
CW Post.
Were you offended by the Nets not playing Durant yesterday? For some reason, this put me over the top. It infuriated me. This was an important game.
Yeah, offend is not the word, because I think I'm just – the sad part is I'm not surprised. You know, that's probably what I was let down, because I was hoping that they would take the game a little more serious. Like, we all got jacked up for this. Like, man, this is great. Like, I was just saying to Andrew, like, think about it. Like, Pacers-Knicks in March, you know, like in 98 or 99. Like, you'd be jacked up for that. Like, it's the last time we're going to see them before the postseason. Let's send a message. You get all fired up for it. It's got a little bit of a feel to it, some sizzle. And it's like, imagine then if, like, Reggie Miller and, you know, Antonio Davis were like, yeah, we're not playing tonight. You know, like, it's just a generational thing that it's changed. And here's why it's changed, guys. It's player empowerment. You know, the Nets basically handed the keys to the franchise over to Kyrie Irving when he was able to deliver Kevin Durant. And so you're paying for that now, and you're okay with it. We know what comes with it, but we'll live with it, because there's a chance, and the best chance they've had since Jason Kidd was there, there's a chance they could win a championship. And so if you put up with all this crap now, you'll do it if you think that there's that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But that's what you signed up for when you brought in Kyrie Irving and gave him the keys to the franchise and said, okay, we're going to do whatever you want, because we know that when you're happy, you'll get Kevin Durant, and when Kevin's happy, we'll have a chance to win big. So that's it. It's really a player empowerment thing that has been going on in that sport, and it's the elite of the elite that are doing this, and it's damaging the game, but they don't care, because for them it's about their show, not really about who's watching.
But why wouldn't Kevin Durant want to play against the Sixers? I mean, I understand, because he's coming back from a serious injury and then the 23 games with a hamstring. Why wouldn't he want to play against the Sixers and sit down against the Timberwolves? Why?
Because it's the game, probably because he knows everybody's going to be watching, and, you know, we'll see them in the playoffs.
Wow.
You know, like, I just feel like they don't look at it as the game matters. It really, I feel like they don't think the game matters as much as we think the game matters. So this isn't a game that matters. I'll just play against Minnesota, and I'll sit out this game. Who cares? It's a very much that's the attitude, Michael, unfortunately.
So is it just we can win a game seven in Philly? Or I don't even think it's going to get to seven. So what level does it not matter?
They don't even think that far. No chance they think that far. In fact, they still think we could still get the number one seed. You know, they still think that. We have plenty of time. We can still get the number one seed. Doesn't mean anything. We'll make it up, and if we don't, oh well. Like, I honestly, they are that good, and we know it. We know they are. So we're prisoners to that. Like you guys said it earlier, and you said it right. They probably will have, you know, go on a run. They probably will. They could win a championship. We'll forget all this stuff. But right now, in the moment, we just care about tonight's entertainment. Think about this. Imagine if Aerosmith was on tour, okay? And Steven Tyler was like, you know what? This show in Charlotte, I'm going to sit that one out. I'll have a backup singer perform. The people who are like in Charlotte or wherever city it is like, wait a minute, that's not Steven Tyler. Oh, you know, it's a long tour. He wants to rest his voice. You know, you'd be demanding your money back. Well, why is it okay in sports? It's because we've let it be okay. That's why
we have to rise up. It shouldn't be okay anymore, and there should be refunds and ownership. If they have to give money back, would all of a sudden, you know what, they would become part of this and go, no, this can't go on. Because if we're giving money back, that's not the way a business works.
Yeah, but they won't do that. The owners will never give money back, and the players will never give the money back, so there's no way to change it.
Well, then the fans have
no
to rise
to
up.
It.
Like the exactly. Fans in Charlotte would walk out of an Aerosmith concert.
Yeah, well, you know who has to, though? Because really, is it about the tickets sold? This year, obviously, it isn't because it's not, you know, the building's not full. But you know who has to do it? The broadcasters. It has to be ESPN and Turner who just say, you know what? We're tired of this. We're not giving you all this money for a game that I don't even have the stars in. We're promoting the stars in this game all week. And then before the game, the stars aren't even playing. Why are we spending billions of dollars on your league when you can't even get your stars to play during the regular season? So it really has to start there. And that's why there was an all-star game, by the way. You guys know that. The all-star game was played because Turner's like, yo, we paid for an all-star game. You're going to have one. And the players knew they had to play. So I think it starts where the money is. And the money is from the broadcasting, both broadcasting partners. They're the ones that have to change it. Because the owners won't and the players won't. And unfortunately, the fans are powerless, as always.
And, you know, we saw this the other day. I'm sure you talked about it with Dallas's problem with the play-in. And when Mark Cuban says, well, now I got to play my guys more and I can't rest my guys. Yeah, good. Yeah, but the fact that an owner is actually complaining that now he has meaningful games and has to play his players just tells you just how corrupt and how bad the situation is, that's his complaint.
Well, I'll give you two things on that. The first one is I hated that Luka said what he said, because that's why Mark spoke up. Luka's saying that he didn't like it because what if we lose now you lose three games or you lose two games in a row and now you're out of the playoffs. And I'm like, hey, Luka, if I'm on his team, I'm like, what, do you think we're going to lose now? I mean, you sound like a guy that's not very confident in us. Who cares who's in front of us? We'll beat them. We're that good. We don't care. That should be the attitude. But instead, he gave me a little too much honesty there. And then Mark Cuban, so I reached out to Mark because I asked him. I was like, wait, like, you're one of the guys that thought this was a great idea. Like, why the change of heart? Because it's great. It keeps two-thirds. Think about that. Two-thirds of the league stays lit, stays engaged, and sets up your postseason, which we know the first round usually sucks anyway. And he said, it's really not about an 82-game season. I'm for it. I think it'll be great. He said it's because this year, in 72 games, a compressed schedule, COVID, all the protocols, the mental and physical stuff that you're going through already, he's like, that's why I just don't like it this year. We should have waited a year for it. So that, see, he clarified it to me what that was about, and I understand it. But still, I didn't like Luka saying that because you're a leader. You need to be saying, I don't care who's in front of us. We'll beat them.
Alan, were you disappointed with the couple of games that R.J. Barrett just had after you so proudly showed your love for him on TV a few nights ago? He really he's wet the bed since then.
Great timing by me. Huh? I mean, you know, the video goes viral, and I'm thinking, good, good for the kid. I gave him some pub, and then the next two games, it's like, hey, stupid, you just jinxed him. But, I mean, I just think it was a matter of matchups, you know, that weren't working. Last night, he didn't play in the fourth quarter. He clearly didn't have it going, 2-for-10. And Tom Thibodeau had it going with Derrick Rose and Alex Burks, so he stuck with those guys, which is understandable. But I'll tell you this about R.J. Barrett and what I've learned. As a 20-year-old, he'll have a bad game. He'll have two bad games. It won't matter. It's not going to affect him. You're not going to see him go in the tank. He never feels sorry for himself. He never gets down. He never loses confidence. And you can just expect next game, he'll be great. And that's what I always expect from him, which for a young player, that's probably one of the best things you can say, is that he just never loses his confidence and never gets down.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm blown away by how good the Knicks are. And they're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. If they make the playoffs, they probably lose in the first round. But, Alan, they don't stop fighting. I mean, you know, the Nets, yes, last night tried to play the gutty-gritty card. No, you can't do that. The Knicks are legitimately gutty and gritty. That's not an overly talented team. And they've just won four games in a row against decent competition.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing some teams that obviously don't have their main guys. You've gotten some breaks in the schedule because of players, you know, teams that have injuries or you know, again, the Bucks shot a bunch of guys against them a while back, too. But can I ask this question, guys? Are the Knicks cool? Because remember, that was an issue for Kevin Durant. Remember, that was an issue a year ago. They're just not cool. And they aren't that team where you feel like they got something special going there and maybe a free agent or a star player might say, I want to be part of it. Remember, that was the whole problem. Well, are they cool now? You kind of look at them and think they got something special going there that somebody might want to be part of? Because I'm too close to it. I'm too biased. I'm the homer. So you guys tell me. Are the Knicks cool again? I'd like to know.
Well, according to all reports now, that's become the destination. And that's all it takes, right? It's just be competitive. They're trying to be what the Nets were before they got KD and Kyrie, right? Trying to be relevant, fighting for a playoff spot. I mean, they're doing that. And let's be honest, the one thing that they're lacking is fans in the building. If there were 20,000 people in that building every night, forget it. That'd be the place to be again.
Well, yeah. It would be absolutely special. We know that. And it's unfortunate that it doesn't have it right now. But, you know, obviously next year, it can mean a lot. And I think the critical part right now, look, they're overachieving. We know this, right? The preseason prognostications, the over-under from Vegas was 22. They blew that out of the water. ESPN, that stupid computer, had them at 24 wins, blew that out of the water. Now you got a shot at, believe it or not, 36 wins, which 36 wins, guys, is 500. Now, I know nobody's hanging a banner for 500, but guess what? After 8 years, you are. You make the playoffs, they could be a top 6 team still and avoid the 7-10. Who even thought of something like that? Just get in the playoffs. Just play a series. If you get swept, if it's a gentleman's sweep, it doesn't matter. The value of the Knicks being back in the postseason, because now it turns to where you're saying, who's that star player that wants out? Who's the guy that is watching the Knicks now that we don't even know he's watching them, saying, tell you what, I could be the missing link there. I could be the piece that they need. I could really, that market would be great for me, and now it's no longer scary to go there because I'm not going to have to worry about carrying the weight of a franchise that just can't get out of its own way. Now they do things the right way. The value of this season and what Tom Thibodeau has done is immeasurable, and we'll only know it once we do get to the offseason and see what players they can get to take this thing to another step, which is exactly how the Nets became the Nets right now. The same exact thing happened to them. Can it happen for the Knicks?
Is Thibodeau or Quinn Snyder the coach of the year?
That's a great question. It really is. It's a tough one to answer. I'm biased because Tom is the star of this team. Julius Randle's an all-star, but Tom's a star of the team. Like this, you know, he's got them playing defense. It's the best in the league. You know, without what they're doing on a night-in-night-out basis, with the roster they have, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to some of the names on the roster, but guys, who are you paying to watch play on that roster? Is there a guy that you're like, yeah, I got to go watch him play?
No.
I mean, there was a time people couldn't wait to watch Jeremy Lin play basketball. Carmelo Anthony was the box office draw. I mean, there is, you know, even Porzingis for a little while was sort of that. Who's the guy in the Knicks where you're like, I'm plunking down my money to go watch that guy play? You're not, but you're watching them play as a team because you love seeing that kind of basketball. Team concept, defense, effort, that's what you're paying for. Well, that's your coach. So if you put all that together, that sounds like, to me, a guy that should be coach of the year.
All right, before we wrap up, MVP right now, because it's tough. Everybody that had an MVP run is hurt or had been hurt.
Yeah.
Has Embiid moved back in front again?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he looks terrific. And despite the final score last night, he's so dominant, and he's been dominant, and not just, you know, putting up big numbers dominant, but physically dominant, unstoppable dominant. And he was that before the injury. It's amazing that injury wasn't worse, because I feared the worst when I saw it. To see him get back to that level already, the Sixers' best team in the East, he's got to be the guy.
And finally, your show, Barton Hahn. I mean, I have the utmost respect for football players. They're the toughest athletes on the planet. It's a little cold in your new studio, and Bart's wearing a sweatshirt and a hood up. Where's the toughness that I grew to love?
I know, right? Can I go around the room here? Ambient temperature for sleeping. This is how the whole conference. I put the studio at 66 just to piss them off.
Right.
Just to do that. Just because I know it bothers them, right?
That's cold.
Ambient sleeping temperature is 68 or below. 68 or below. Do you guys agree? Because he says it's 72. And you can't sleep with me if it's at 72. I'm sorry.
No.
What do you guys think?
Less than 68 is low, though, also.
No, we keep it at 66 in the house.
Okay, that's what you
have. Don't get.
You might as well sleep outside.
And there's a legion of people out there that would, you know, put the temperature in anything just to sleep with Alan. So, you know, whatever
you
he
what?
Says.
Well, because either way, it's going to be hot, right?
Yeah.
I cannot confirm nor deny.
The number, the right number is 69.
What is wrong with you?
No.
Go away for a while.
You know what? 69 degrees is the line. 70's a touch too hot. You start getting down to 66 level, that's low. 69 degrees is it.
Is Bart legitimately cold?
Oh no, he had the hood over his head, tied up, shivering. Wow. You know, he was covering up his chest because he was very concerned about how it looked on ESPN Plus. And I was very comfortable, very comfortable. I feel like I get a little energy when it's a little bit crispy. Maybe it's just I love being at the ice rink. I love being, you know, around a hockey rink. I just love it cold.
Good stuff. Well, listen, thank you for the great lead-in from 12 to 2. And
yes.
We love listening to you. We love having you on. Thanks, man.
I still have 40 minutes to go, so keep entertaining me, boys. Thank you.
All right, we'll try. All right, that is Alan Hahn. You can hear him every Monday through Friday from noon to 2 right here on 98.7 ESPN. We'll take phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. And then we're going to start to dive into the Trevor Lawrence story that was in Sports Illustrated. We touched on it a little bit yesterday. I don't think we gave it the proper respect that the story deserves. So we'll get into that when the clock strikes four. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.